want to bless them because they're so faithful in blessing our youth. Well, today, how many of you noticed that we have a little display set up? How many of you noticed that? Well, despite appearances, today's message is not brought to you by Tide or any other laundry detergent. But it's just something, as I worked on this message, I feel like that God, sometimes just something visual helps. And today, we're going to be continuing a series that we started last week that I'm calling Mythbusters. And how many know that there's certain myths that need to be busted? And there are all kinds of myths we have in life. You know, it's funny how many things become truth that really aren't truth, that we hear over and over, and they're scattered everywhere, and people tell it all the time, and it seems to be the conventional wisdom that's taken as truth, but it's not truth. Matter of fact, there's some concerning cars. You may have heard the one about how that don't use your cell phone while you're pumping gas. It can cause an explosion. Not true. Have you heard the one where if you put sugar in somebody's gas tank, you will destroy their engine? Not true. How many of you have heard the one, and I used to believe this was true, but I even passed this on and told this one. How many of you heard the one that the Chevy Nova didn't sell well in Mexico because Nova means no go? Not true. It actually sold very well in Mexico, just so you know. Then you hear things like, you know, when the keyless entry into vehicles came out, it's like, oh, you don't want that. Somebody with a cell phone can hack that, and they can control your car. Then there's the one of red cars get more speeding tickets than other vehicles do. That's not true. Statistically, it is not true. If you go too fast, you get a ticket, no matter what color your car is, all right? How many know there are also some spiritual myths that sometimes we share with one another, things that we say or we hear people say, and it's spoken as truth, but it's not really true. And so this morning, I want us to explore three common myths concerning sin. How many know that sin is an important matter that needs to be dealt with? And so we're going to look at three things that perhaps you've heard people say before, but they're just not true. Number one that we're going to look at today is, how many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, when they're confronted about maybe some things they need to work on in their lifestyle, they'll say, or maybe even you've said, well, I'm not a bad person. That statement is false. And what people mean by that, I understand what people mean, is in the grand scheme of things, they say, well, I'm not this evil person, and I'm not a murderer or a rapist or whatever, so they come to the conclusion that I'm not a bad person. But it's a mistake that we make, because anytime we go about and we compare our lives to somebody else, we're making a mistake. And I'll give you an example. You know, I've got a really dirty shirt here. I actually kind of had fun stomping that shirt in the mud. We got one with a couple of mustard stains on it. Now, it's real easy if you're the one with the mustard stains to look over the person that's really dirty and say, I'm pretty good because I'm better than them. But where we make a mistake is we're not supposed to compare ourselves to somebody worse than us. We're supposed to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, there's not a one of us that is a good person. I know that may sound really depressing, and you say, wow, I came to church to be uplifted today. Not. But the truth is, none of us measure up to God's standard. God's standard is perfection. Now, does that mean that we have to be perfect to make it to heaven? No, because that's the whole reason Jesus came. That's what his grace is there for, is to bridge that gap between what we should be and what we are. And I'm going to get more into that in a little bit, but none of us measure up to God's standard. Mark 10, verse 17 and 18. Familiar story. It says, and Jesus started on his way. A man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, that's a great question to ask. That's probably one of the greatest questions we could ask. Lord, what can I do to make it to heaven? Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? But I want you to notice something here, that before Jesus answered his question, Jesus makes this statement. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, because no one is good except God alone. So we can't stand there and we can't say, I'm a good person. Because we're not. No one is good except God alone. But that's okay. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's actually a good thing when we realize that. 1 John 1, 8 through 10 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. See, the truth is we're all in need of cleansing. Because we're not good on our own. Left on our own, we will mess it up every single time. No matter who you are, we're all in need of cleansing. But here's the best part. Here's the reason that's good news for us to understand that. Because unless we see ourselves as sinners, we won't see our need for a Savior. Let me say that again. Unless we see ourselves as sinners, we won't see our need for a Savior. Because if we convince ourselves we're a good person, then we think, it's okay. I got this. I don't really need a Savior because I'm not that messed up. But the truth is, we're all a little messed up. See, there's this mentality out there that's kind of perpetuates that lie, that somehow we think that there's a cosmic spiritual scale out there, and that if somehow we can just do a tick more good than we do bad, then the needle points just slightly to the good side. It's like, woohoo, I made it to heaven. And if it points the other way, well, we don't make it. We go to the other place. But that has nothing to do with it. It's not about good or bad or right or wrong. It's about the fact that we recognize we're completely in need of a Savior and we're not good on our own. See, over and over, the Bible says that all people are sinners. Who can say I've kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin, Proverbs 29. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins, Ecclesiastes 7:20. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, Isaiah 53:6. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. It's a running theme through Scripture that we're all sinners. I realize it's quiet when I say that because this isn't a woohoo, you're right moment. But Isaiah 64:6, I want us to look at this. It says this. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. See, in the eyes of God, we're all sinners. But the greatest thing about that revelation is even though we're sinners, God loved us enough to send his son to take the punishment that we deserve to provide a way back to the Father. That's the good news. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I remember years ago when a show that I used to love it, and it would come on, I think it was Channel 13, one of the PBS shows. But anybody ever remember the old show called The Red Green Show? It's hilarious. It was a funny, funny show. But the whole premise was, is it was kind of a Canadian show, and the guy, the main character, was a comedian, and he was an older guy, had a beard. And the whole premise of the show was there was this men's lodge up in Canada, and I forget the name of the group, but they would meet, and so they would get together. They had this own little club, and there was this clubhouse they hung out with. And one of my favorite parts was they would all get together and they would call the meeting to order, and all the men are standing there and all raise their right hand. They would all say, "I'm a man. I can change if I have to, I guess." And that was their pledge. They weren't setting the bar very high. But we're kind of all in the same boat. We're all sinners. So I wrote my own pledge this morning. So everybody raise your right hand and repeat after me. I'm a human. We all sin. We can't change on our own except through Jesus Christ. We're all in that same boat. That's where we're at. It's not something that's unique. You know, so one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that somehow other people have it together and we don't, and we're this exception. We're all headed down the same path, and none of us are good. Doesn't mean we don't strive for the goal, but we all struggle. And this should set us free. It shouldn't be something that depresses us. It should help us understand that God has provided, knowing that none of us are good. There's another myth that's kind of closely related to that one that I want to hit today. And this one may be one a little more common that we've probably all heard and maybe even believe. And that's the myth that all sin is the same. I've heard people say that many, many times. Well, all sin's the same. No, it's not. False, a myth. Now, it's all the same in that different kinds of, that all sin's the same in that all sin can separate us from the Father if it's not dealt with. But it's not the same. Just like there's different kind of stains on the shirts over here. Now the one on y'all's far left there looks really, really dirty. It's really nasty. And the other one, you say, well, it may not be as bad. But you see, there's a difference between those two stains. The one on the right, it's just dirt. I could toss it in the washing machine, and chances are it's going to come out looking about as good as the one on the far right. But the one in the middle's got a mustard stain on it. That's going to be a little more difficult to get out. And yet we have this idea, there's this myth out there that all sin is the same. And yes, it all separates us from God. And all sin will not enter heaven because God hates all sin. And that is true. Kind of reminds me when I was a kid, I remember growing up in an environment in the neighborhood we were in that, man, during the summertime, it wasn't like today where everybody's scared to get out. I mean, we played all over the neighborhood. And you see moms out on the front porch when it started getting dark. You know, little Johnny, come home. We just played all over the place. And as a kid, I remember there was times I got into stuff. And I got real dirty. And my mom would have been cleaning the house all day, making sure it was ready. And I'd get ready to come in when she'd call, and she would stop me at the door and say, you ain't coming into this clean house like that. Not till you go clean yourself up. And I remember always thinking, well, how am I supposed to clean myself up? The bathroom's in there. But that's the way sin is alive. You know, we're not going to enter heaven with sin, but that doesn't mean all sin is the same. You see, there's different consequences for different sins. You know, I know that most of us don't like to believe this, but believe it or not, speeding is a sin because the Bible says that we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. I struggle with that one. I mean, so technically, yeah, it's a sin, But if that's the case, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Struggle with that. But there's different, you know, if I get caught doing that, and Kevin's a DPS officer, if I get caught doing that, blowing by, and I blow by him at a wrong rate of speed, he's liable to pull me over and give me a ticket. There's a consequence for that sin. There's a whole different consequence if I were to rob a bank. And in a spiritual sense, there are things that we struggle with, and we look in the law of Moses that Moses handed down, there were different consequences for different sins. There were certain sins that if they did, it just meant that they were unclean for a little bit and they had to go through a cleansing ritual, and they may have to be kind of outside of the community for 7 days, but then they could come back in and it was all good. But we read there were other offenses that were severe enough that the law called upon for them to be stoned. And we're so quick sometimes to say, well, we live in the age of grace, but yet Jesus even picked up on some things that were different. He picked up and he taught that there were certain situations that were more severe or even harder to forgive than others. Matter of fact, those who commit the sin of unforgiveness actually hold their own forgiveness ransom. Romans 6:14-15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. According to Jesus, anyone who commits blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Matthew 12:31, and so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So we can't say that all sin is the same. Now, some of you may be sitting there in the wheels spinning, well, what is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Have I done that? You know what? Chances are if you're sitting here and you kind of feel God's presence and draw, you don't have to worry. But that's a message for a whole another time. We can't just tackle that in just 2 or 3 minutes. But if you're really curious, look at Numbers 15:30, and it kind of helps you out a little bit. All right. Moving on. The point I'm making this, though it evidently, in the mind of the master, not all sin is the same. And since we all sin, let's look a little bit at the consequences of sin. Because you know what? Different sins have different consequences. And things that affect us, and our obedience and our disobedience, and so many things, there's so many factors in it. You see, our sins may affect the consequences here on earth. Kind of like the speeding ticket that you can kind of pay your fine or do whatever and move on. There are things that we do here on earth that it seems like we can mess up. We can ask forgiveness. There doesn't seem to be much in the way of consequences. But sometimes in this earth, there's sins that we commit that we can get forgiveness for. And it's not going to affect our eternity, but there's consequences we have to carry on this earth for the rest of our lives. So we can't say that all sin is the same. But there's also types of sin affect our rewards in heaven. Like, for instance, our motivations. See, how many know that there's things we can do that are good things? You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. And God's big on the motivation of why we did things. Matthew 6:1, be careful, do not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What's he focused on? He's talking about the heart behind the action. Now, I know I've seen people that have gone too far with that. Oh, if you do something nice for God, be sure you do it behind so that nobody knows about it. Or you won't get any credit at all. That's not what he's saying. It's not a letter of the law thing. It's a heart thing. Am I doing it for the right reasons and the right motivation, or am I doing it to get the applause of people? Or people to think I'm more than I am? But see, there's also things that affect our punishment in hell. You know, hell is a very real place, and people really do go there, and we don't hear it talked about much anymore. We want to talk about the 12 ways to better you, but the truth is, sin really will keep us from heaven, and if you don't make it to heaven, there's only one other choice. I hate to tell you this, but purgatory isn't real. You can't kind of go there and go pay the right priest the right amount of money to pray you out of there. That's not scriptural. But certainly it's not a place we'd wish on anybody. Now, it does seem, however, it's pretty clear there are different levels of punishment in hell based upon the sin. Matthew 11, 21 through 24. Jesus speaking, he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, you would have repented long ago. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you will be lifted up to the skies. No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would remain to this day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." See, we can't say that it's all the same. Now, hell's going to be a bad place, and we don't want anybody to go there, period. But if there's these variations and stuff, then we can't really say that all sin is the same. Not all sins are not all the same. But we do well to avoid them all. But however, some are clearly deadlier than others. And then the last myth I want us to look at this morning is this. And maybe you've heard it before. "Well, I've already sinned, I might as well continue." Can I say this? The most miserable people in the world are not the non-Christians, but Christians living in sin. I remember years ago, many years ago, I was at that age, I was still living at home. But I had a driver's license and a vehicle, a lot of freedom. And I did worse things than this, so I don't want you to think that that's as bad as I ever did. But some of those, I'm not going to tell you this story, I'll tell you. But my parents, our church we were attending had Sunday night service every Sunday night. And so, particular Sunday night, you know, not that what I was going to do was so wrong in and of itself, but I had told my parents that, "Hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go to church with some of my friends tonight. You know, you guys have fun." But really what I was doing was going to see a movie I was not supposed to see with some friends of mine on that Sunday night. Because my parents had rules of what I could see and couldn't see at that point in time. So I went. The movie was good. As in, it was entertaining, but I couldn't enjoy it because I knew I was doing what I shouldn't be doing, and then I was wrong. But it was funny to me, looking back on it, my friends had a blast. And I'm sitting the whole time, "What in the world am I doing?" And I could enjoy myself because I knew that I had told a lie to my parents. Now, my friends could come home and go to bed and all that stuff and that and many other things that I did that I wasn't supposed to, but I couldn't because I knew better. So the truth is, those of us that are Christians and we know better, we can't continue in that sin because we know better than to continue in that sin. You know, David, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, that wrote so many of the Psalms, that saw miracles in his life and saw great things. You know, he committed a sin too, even as great a man as he was. He committed the sin of adultery. We know the story most likely with Bathsheba. But instead of just dealing with it and owning up to it, what did he do? He continued in that sin, and then it came to the point that he had to literally commit murder to try to cover that sin up. And we read some of the things that he wrote during that time dealing with that. Psalms 32, 3 and 4, he says this. You kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of what he was feeling. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning. All day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Probably the most famous one of all is Psalms 51, 11, and 12. This was after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan with his sin. And he's going through and he's writing and he's praying through his forgiveness. And he says something very interesting in verse 11 and 12. He says, Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. He was struggling. He was struggling. He had lost the joy of his salvation. The thought of God removing the presence of the Holy Spirit from his life was so heavy upon his heart in that moment. See, one of the worst feelings a Christian can have is knowing that that sin is always there. Referring back to my t-shirts here, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever pulled out a shirt or a garment and you realize there's a stain on it that didn't come out? But you're in a rush or whatever, you're like, you know what, I'm going to wear this anyway. And what you do is you put on another layer of clothing that just strategically covers that stain. And the stain's still there, but to everybody else, you look good. Don't we sometimes do that as Christians? We have that sin. We have that stain that we've carried with us for years, and we've never really gotten it gone. But we've learned how to dress over it and dress around it, where everybody else thinks that we're a good Christian, that we have it all together. But we know on the inside that stain is still there. See, Jesus dealt with that. Matter of fact, that's one of the things he dealt with the Pharisees a lot. At one point, looking at the Pharisees, he made the comment. He says, you bunch of whitewashed tombs. You dress and you look good on the outside, but on the inside it's full of dead man bones. And what he was talking about is how if they did everything right on the outside, but their hearts were so far from God. They could put on a good show. See, the truth is, Jesus dealt with them a lot more harshly than he did the regular sinner that was caught in the act of sin. See, there will be consequences. And one of the things we need to realize is all of us, let me say this, all of us have these things. All of us, no matter who you are or how long you've been in this thing, all of us have this thing or these sins that are there. And we walk through a time in our spiritual life and we're reading the Bible and we're praying and we're doing all the things we're supposed to do. We can put those things away. They get put down. They get put under the blood of Jesus and they're it seems like they're gone. And we can get walking a little bit of confidence, a little bit of arrogance, say, "Ooh, I got, man, that thing is gone. I got that thing defeated." And you do through Jesus. But you know what? You start backing off of your prayer time. You start backing off of your time with God and fellowship with other believers and your time of prayer and all those things. And guess what? That thing you thought was dead and gone will begin to raise its ugly head again. We've all got those things. Now, what you struggle with may be different than what somebody else struggles with, but I don't care who you are, you've got that thing in your life. And it has to be dealt with. It has to be continually put under the blood in Jesus. But you know what? So many times, though, we can get used to that sin in our life, that one thing that we struggle with, and we can become comfortable with it, and we can let it hang around. And we carry it with us everywhere we go. And we think that just because lightning hadn't struck us, that somehow God's okay with it. Well, it may not have blown up and lightning may not have struck you yet, but if you keep walking with that thing and never deal with it, eventually it will bite you. And can I say this? Well, I can't because I got the microphone. God does not make deals that allows us to continue in our sin, period. So many times we convince ourselves that God's making an exception in our case. His law is clear. We don't get a special pass or a special exemption. That, well, I'm doing these things for God, so he'll overlook that. Can I tell you, oh man, can I tell you how many people I know? That makes it sound like there's a whole lot of them, but that's not what I meant. But periodically, we all know that somebody that's in the ministry get caught in some horrible sin. It happens occasionally. Something they've let fester in their life for a long time. They've never dealt with. And finally it reaches a point that it blows up and they have to be removed from ministry. And sometimes when that happens, people are very repentant and they get their life back together and God allows them to get back in ministry. But sometimes you run across those that are so arrogant that even when they get caught, they're not repentant. And you really get the sense, you can see that somehow they thought because they were doing these things for God that God had made a special exception for them. They could continue to do this thing. That's dangerous ground when as Christians we say, you know what, God's going to make a special exception for me in this one area. He doesn't do that. It's not scriptural. Man, I'm on that one. But God doesn't give out special exemptions. But it's okay. Because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And God is in the redemption business. And that's the reason Jesus came. We're supposed to work to get better and get over those things and not live a life of sin. But you know what the great news is? Jesus came and he provides that grace as that buffer zone while we're working on the things we're supposed to be working on, while we're getting that sin removed from our life, while we're becoming more and more like Christ, that because of his blood, we're allowed to work through those processes. But we're never allowed to just carry a thing and carry the thing and carry the thing and think that we've got an exemption. Man, there's so much more I could say. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? See, Paul is dealing with an issue here. There were people that thought, hey, we're under grace now. We can do whatever. Woohoo! God gave us a get out of hell free card. I can go do what I want. He says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live it in it any longer? See, when we examine the cost and the price that was paid for our sin, there ought to be something in us that says, you know what? That's what killed and crucified my Lord and Savior. Maybe I don't want to do that anymore. I know this has been heavy, so I've got good news. I'm going to end with good news. Ready for the good news? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Don't get me wrong. I believe in grace. I thank God for that grace. I need his grace every day. You need his grace every day. But we should never, ever become comfortable with sin. We should always be striving to be as perfect and as clean as we can possibly be. That's the reason he died, to take care of our sin. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I know that seems like a little old-fashioned. I can't tell you how many times growing up that was the ending to the service that I grew up around. But I want you to do that this morning because my goal today is not to single anybody out. My goal today is not to embarrass you because we're all sinners. As we talk about, we all fall short. There's not a one of us that don't have things that we need to work on. But somehow, in our own lives, if we will confess that, then God can begin to work through us and begin to change things. So this morning, I want to ask, is there anybody that hears I spoke through these words that perhaps you convinced yourself of one of these spiritual myths that, well, I'm not a bad person? Or you convinced yourself, well, all sin's the same, so what does it really matter? Or maybe you said, well, I'm already sinning, might as well just keep going. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I know that I've got sin in my life that needs to be dealt with. I know that I've got that one thing I've struggled in for a long time, and I've been pretty good at covering it up. But it's time to put that thing to rest. If either one of those hit you, just kind of raise your hand where you're at, just so I know to pray for you. That's all I'm asking for. Amen. Amen.